Blog Talk Radio.
I get biz with the new cut because I can jam like Teddy if you let me. A good fellow, but still rugged like Joe Pesci. My style is mad funker to the delic with the irrelevant shit that I kick back, flip to me full bitch. Did up, then I dip, then I switch. To an incredible nigga with the nickel nine on the hip. I always got played by a honey dip, but now I'm on a money tip, so now I call the honey dip honey bitch. And swing hardcore because that's where I come from. I rock you like Chubb and burn scrubs like a dumb dumb. Remember Red Man, last album I was hardcore, now I'm back to tear the frame out your ass crack. Cause I get rep with the check, with the blend of my wet. And what you see is what you get, and what you're getting is your ass kick. Nigga, hit you with the funk to five figure. Like A plus funk, funk times up in your back truck pump. Yes, the Red Man, that's what they call me. Wicked with the style, you think I have cerebral palsy. Like, cause I freak the sounds crazy. Lullaby a stupid ass.
Rock-a-bye, baby.
The funkadelic devil hit your ass with the level from the new school. And still holding my jewel.
With the releases of in TNA
because of budget cuts. Vice President of Talent Relations and Head of Creative, Bruce Pritchard, was released, and he refused to take a restructure in pay. And so he just walked, and D'Lo Brown did the same also. He didn't want to take a less pay, so he walked too. So even though they are spending over $600,000 on a road for a TNA taping, and I don't see that's not going to solve any issues there. So let's go to let's go right now to the phone line. Wrestling X Factor.
Hey, man, are you all right? Because you sound like you're high or something.
No, it's just the audio, yeah.
What's up, man? It's Headbanger Thrasher.
Hey, how you doing, man? It's an honor to have
you. You guys
up
are on the
here.
Ball, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm just hoarse. And yeah, it's I know you've been busy doing your scheduling and everything.
We're trying to stay busy. You know how it is.
Right.
The indie circuit's a little tough.
Exactly. And you actually was trained at the Monster Factory.
Yeah, I was. Me and Chaz both were trained at the Monster Factory in Paulsburg, New Jersey. Absolutely. I actually trained Chaz, D'Lo Brown, who you just mentioned got released, and I also trained Paul White, which everybody knows is the Big Show.
Yeah, they definitely made a lot of names coming out of that.
And they still are. I mean, you got King Kong Bundy, you got, you know, Tatanka, you got the Pitbulls, you got tons of people that, you know, Sheamus came out of that school.
Right.
You got tons of stars that have come out of there.
And it was actually Larry Sharp's school?
Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, yep.
Yep.
So if anybody out there wants to be trained by the best, you have to go to the best, and that is the Monster Factory in Paulsburg, New Jersey. Look it up.
That's what's up.
That was a shameless plug.
Yeah. And you actually started with Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
Actually, yeah, after Chaz got done training, we went to USWA, and we wrestled down there for, you know, 6 months to a year as the Spiders. And then once we got finished up with Smoky Mountain, we moved over to – or once we got finished with USWA, we moved over to Smoky Mountain. And that's where we became the Headbangers. So it wasn't a WWF gimmick. It wasn't – anything like that. It was our gimmick. We, you know, we started in Smoky Mountain. Jim Cornette gave us the name the Headbangers. So it was nothing the WWF did.
Yes. But y'all was originally the Spiders first, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Yes, and how was it the work with a legend in the business like Jim Cornette's company?
Smoky Mountain was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was a learning experience. You know, where else could you go today and work, you know, five nights a week and work with some of the best guys down there? You had Al Snow, you had Ricky and Robert, you had Tracy Smothers, you had Unabomber, which everybody should know is Kane. You had a ton of, you know, you had Brad Armstrong, rest in peace. You just had a ton of great, great guys down there. So not to learn a tremendous amount of knowledge from them would be, you know, is an understatement. So it was a great time. It, you know, it's where we were able to hone the headbanger, you know, I guess characters, as you want to call them, and stuff like that. But it was a great time. Smoky Mountain was great.
Right. And how was it when y'all when Vince McMahon called you up from the roster? Were you actually was surprised for you to be on right up to Saturday Shotgun?
Well, what happened was Smoky Mountain was going out of business, and so Jim Cornette tried to get all his guys up there with tryouts and everything else. And at the time that we were going up there, they were going through a change with the jobber mentality, with the Saturday morning beat up guys, and they wanted to have more competitive matches. So what Vince came up with is he came up with a part-time contract, and it was a contract just for TVs. TVs only, and the guys that did that were the enhancement guys, which were able to work matches, competitive matches with the superstars and put them over to make them look better. So it wasn't like we came, you know, from a training facility or anything else like that and got put onto a roster. We came in, you know, we started doing the Raw and SmackDown and you know, Shotgun Saturday Night and, you know, stuff like that. So it wasn't, you know, like it is today. It was a little bit different back then. You know, right. you didn't have a different roster for Raw. You didn't have a different roster for SmackDown or Shotgun Saturday Night or Superstars. We were all one and the same. We didn't,
right.
We didn't, you know, differentiate.
Yes, and y'all was actually under the name of Sisters of Love.
What happened was Vince wanted to come up with his own characters for us, and he came up with the Flying Nuns, and what he was going to do was tie both of them in together and go, you know, these guys are so crazy and so outlandish, they don't care what they wear to the ring, they just want to go in and beat somebody up. So he was going to intertwine the two characters together and come back to the Headbangers. But with everything that's religious or, you know, crossing the line or anything else like that, it got shot down really fast through the churches and, you know, the religious groups and stuff like that. So, you know, at that particular time, you know, Vince didn't want to have any kind of waves with, especially with the religion and stuff like that. That's a line you don't cross.
Right. Especially now with the PG era.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't work now. The Headbangers would, but the Sisters of Love, no, never.
Right.
Because to me, the Headbanger character, gimmick, whatever anybody wants to call it, it wasn't a gimmick or it wasn't characters. I mean, you know, I always had the tattoos. I always had my ears pierced. You know, I shaved my head long before, you know, we started with the WWF, and you know, we always listened to that type of music. And by the way, your hold music, you need to change that.
Right.
That's how you kids call today a little whack. So, but you know, it wasn't a gimmick to us. It was actually how we really are. And you know, I absolutely think that the Headbanger, you know, persona would go over good today because of the fact of, you know, with the bullying campaigns and stuff like that, you know, why not have a campaign to, you know, be who you are, be, you know, what you want to be, you know, if you want to dress in a skirt or paint your face or anything else, as long as you're not hurting anybody, why should anybody give a shit?
Right.
So, you know, I absolutely think it would, you know, work in a PG era.
Yes, that would be another good idea.
What do I know? I've only been doing it 24 years.
And how was it also when y'all first debuted on Raw?
I mean, it was it's really hard to explain. I mean, everybody always asks, what was it like, you know, being on Raw? What was it like, you know, winning the tag team belts? What was it like winning at WrestleMania 13? And they're all experiences that are so hard to put into words. It would be like winning the lottery.
Right.
How many people actually win the lottery? Not too many. It's a feeling. It's an emotion that it's hard to, I guess, relate to people and tell them how it feels. It's like winning the Super Bowl, you know, stuff like that. There's not too many. If you ask a Super Bowl champion what it's like to win the Super Bowl, they'll babble, and it won't make any sense because it's so hard to put it in the words. It's the absolute pinnacle of your career. It's the excitement. It's the joy. It's everything all brought up into one. It's a lot of different emotions all rolled up into an unbelievable experience.
Right. How was it like working with Legion of Doom?
Legendary. I mean, when they actually came back on to Monday Night Raw, we were actually the guys that wrestled against them, and you know, it was a double disqualification match, and that's who we grew up watching. I mean, you talk about tag team wrestling, you know, the first words out of anybody's mouth is, you know, Hawk and Animal. And then you got the Freebirds and the Fantastics. You got all these great, the Rock and Roll Express. You have all these great tag teams that you know, roll off. But the first one that you always mention is, you know, the Road Warriors. I mean, they're just, you know, they are and will always be, you know, the greatest tag team ever, I believe. You know,
right.
I even put them over top of the Dudleys. You know, you look at
right.
the Dudley Boys and what they've accomplished and everything else. You know, I still, you know, put the Road Warriors above them, not taking anything
right.
away from the Dudleys. But, I mean, I don't know. I just think, you know, that's how it is.
Right. And you actually had won the tag belts also. I'm doing that year also in WWE.
Right, we won the tag belts. I believe it was in '98, and it was a four corners match with Owen and Davey, the Godwins, us, and I believe LOD was in the match, or it was the Blackjacks.
Right.
It was somebody. I think it was LOD. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was LOD because I think them and the Godwins eliminated themselves, and then we wrestled against the Bulldog and Owen. I mean, it was great. I mean, just to be able to be in the ring with Davey and Owen and, you know, guys like that. I mean, it's not something that a lot of people get a chance to experience. It's just, it's awesome. It was great.
Yes, awesome. And definitely, y'all was also well liked also as Hills also.
Say it again.
It seemed like y'all was more, way over as Hills more than faces also.
It was weird because, you know, back then in the Attitude Era, they didn't care if you were a heel or a face or anything. They just, Steve Austin, you know, in today's day and age with flipping off authority and stuff like that and doing everything he did, he would probably be a heel also. He had the heel mentality. but everybody loved that because who wouldn't want to flip off their boss? I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to give them the big giant bird.
I would too on some days.
Well, I hear you. But, you know, so I think it was a lot to do with, you know, DX. You know, they were heels. But they were so over as you know, people loved them because of all the crazy shit they did. It was it just didn't matter. It was who the people at that time related to. And, you know, they could relate to us, you know, because that was the big Marilyn Manson thing back then. And you know, the grunge rock was really big in back then. And so, you know, they could relate to us. And, you know, it worked.
Right. Y'all actually also helped to also put over the Generation X also to get them going also with that segment in the ring when they were playing like poker showing Triple H.
Yep, Jazz got busted in the head with a Jack Daniels bottle and I went to a card table. Yep.
Yep. And also, another highlight, y'all actually won the NWA Tag Champions.
From Ricky and Robert, yep. It was when they were doing an NWA invasion. I guess Cordette was doing an invasion with the NWA and, you know, trying to take over and everything else, kind of like the Aces and Eights, kind of like, you know, the whole DX. You know, and everybody else that's tried it. So, yeah, I mean, just beating Ricky and Robert that, you know, have been, you know, an unbelievable tag team to learn from, to watch throughout the years and everything else was a great, great time also.
Right. What's your opinion on also Vince McMahon in general?
Vince, he was always really good to us. You know, I can't complain about the way he treated us when we were up there and everything. You know, he was always nice. He always had his door open. He was a big prankster. He liked to pull his little jokes. And if you really didn't know how Vince was, he has a very dry sense of humor. So he may be saying something to you and you may think he's serious, but he's just like messing with you. You know, I can see how people could, you know, take him the wrong way. But,
right.
You know, all of our time up there and everything else, the only thing I would probably change is, you know, us being more involved and saying no from time to time about different things and stuff like that. But other
right.
than that, I mean, it was the best experience ever. I mean, people work their whole life in this business and never get to, you know, the WWE or WWF and stuff like that. It's the same thing with anything else. You know, there's kids out there that play baseball or play football or soccer their whole lives and never make it to, you know, the major league or the NFL or anything else. So, you know, just being able to say that, hey, I've been there, I've done that, is something not a lot of people in this business can say.
Right. And it seems like now that Vince is also trying to and them trying to give back to all the ones that have been in the company in the past to legends contracts for use of likenesses or anything else also.
Right. Well, he dropped the ball on the Headbanger trademark and everything else. We actually own the trademark for the Headbanger name now, Mosh and Thrasher. Because after so many years, you have to always redo the trademarks. You have to, you know, pay up on the licensees and stuff like that all over again. And just like he dropped the ball with the ECW one, he doesn't own the trademark for ECW anymore.
Right.
Somebody in New York or somewhere owns it. But, you know, that's why that, you know, we're not on video games or we don't have any Legend action figures coming out or anything else like that, because he doesn't own that, the name anymore. So
right.
It would be a little bit harder for him to make any money off of it when, you know, we would have to sign it over to him again. But, you know, you always learn in this business, you never say never. We never say that, you know, we will never go back on, you know, Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. You just never know. You never say never.
Right. It could be one of those special nights on
that's
the
right.
USA Network for a
never say never.
Yes.
And then with everybody getting released to TNA, hey, I think they have a couple of job openings there.
Yeah. I think they're going to have more job openings.
You never say never. That's all
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I got time for one more question, and I got to cut out of here.
Yes. You actually made a surprise return to wrestling to Ring of Honor as Guardians of the Truth.
Uh-huh.
And right into the Headbangers.
Well, what happened is when I left WWF in the early 2000s, I'll say 2001, I believe it was, I got out of the wrestling business altogether up until about 2.5 years ago, about 2 years ago. So, you know, I wanted to go out on my own way. I didn't want to go out, with people not knowing what happened or anything else like that. So I moved down to Florida. Me and Chaz got back together. Cornette came to one of our shows down here in Florida right around WrestleMania when it was in Miami. You know, saw us. He was like, oh, my God, it looks like 1997 all over again. He goes, you guys haven't missed a step. Now, you know, we don't have the wear and tear on our bodies that, you know, most of the guys our age have because, you know, for the last 10, 11 years, we haven't been doing it, you know, 5-6 days a week like these guys are doing today. So, you know, we went back to Ring of Honor, you know, did our little stint there and everything else. And as soon as Cornette left, you know, we were, you know, pushed to the wayside. So, you know, Cornette's always been very, very good to us. He's a great, great guy. The best thing about Jim Cornette is if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask him the question. Because he's
right.
going to tell you 100% the exact truth, whether you like it or not. So he's always told us, if you don't want to know the answer for real, don't ask me the question, because he's going to give it to you for real. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, Ring of Honor's got a lot of great talent there. They, you know, that was the place that we actually really wanted to go, because they had a really good tag team division with the Briscoes, and, you know, you had the world's greatest tag team with Sheldon and Charlie. So, you know, we wanted to go there because they had really good tag teams there, and at the time it made more sense for us. But, you know, with everything else, it passed, and you know, we're open to do anything and go anywhere. So, you know, we still believe that we have a couple more years in us, at least, you know, enough for another good run in whatever company that we can get into.
Right.
All we need is an opportunity to show, you know, everybody that you know, we still have what it takes.
Right. And I really believe that it could be Dixie, having y'all at to TNA.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah. Right. Also, y'all still do indies on the Northeast still, right?
We do indies wherever we get booked at. If anybody wants to book us, they can reach us through Facebook. We don't leave our Florida area for, you know, 100, 200, 300 hours. If people want a quality wrestler, you're going to have to pay for it. That's what's wrong with some of these independent promoters today. Don't get Joe Blow out of the backyard after he got trained at Backyard Wrestling School 101 and pay him $20 and put him in the ring and wonder why, you know, promoter A doesn't draw any money, because you won't dig in your pockets and bring in quality talent. That's the only way these promoters make money, is by bringing in quality talent. This is why, right, if you listen to, you know, the word on the internet, wrestlers need to be in a union. And that's period. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's too many guys out there that have busted their ass for years and years and have absolutely nothing to show for it. And that's because we're not unionized.
Right. And I still remember Bret Hart brought that up several years ago also.
Yep. Yep, there's a lot of guys that feel the same way. But, you know, it's everybody's either got to pull together or it's never going to happen.
Right.
So, who knows? As I said before, you never say never.
Right. Exactly.
So, all right, man. Well, I got to go. It was good talking to you. And for everybody out there, you can follow me on Twitter at GR Thrasher, or you can reach me on Facebook at Glenn Ruth, or you can reach me on my other Facebook page at Ted Banger Thrasher. So I answer everybody's questions, talk to everybody from time to time. You know, I always believed it's always about the fans. Without the fans out there, we wouldn't have a platform to do what we love to do.
Right. It was nice having you up on here, Thrasher.
All right, man. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right. Don't let your meatloaf.
Everyone, that was Headbanger Thrasher, and the former WWE Tag Team Champion. And we're running out of time. You can reach us up on the group page at Wrestling X Factor on Facebook. Or you can broadcast, listen to the archives here on Blog Talk Radio for this episode. And this is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.
You up, I take a hit from a split, then I get biz with a new cut. Because I can jam like Teddy if you let me. A good fellow, but still rugged like Joe Pesci. My style is mad, fucker, to the delicate with the irrelevant shit. That I kick back, flip, send me full bitch. Dig up, then I dip, then I switch. You an incredible nigga with the nickel nine on the hip. I always got played by a honey dip, but now I'm on a money trip. So now I call the honey dip, honey bitch. And swing hardcore because that's where I come from. I rock you like Chubb and burn scrubs like a dumb dumb. Remember Red Man, last album I was hardcore, now I'm back to tear the frame out your ass crack. Cause I get wrecked with the tech, with the plan of my wet. And what you see is what you get, and what you're getting is your ass kick. Nigga, hit you with the funk to five figures. Like 8 plus funk, funk time stuff in your back truck pump. Yes, the red man, that's what they call me. Wicked with the style, you think I have cerebral palsy. Like, cause I freak the sounds crazy. Lullaby a stupid ass.
Rockabye, baby.
The funk and delicate devil hit you.